Good morning. I greet you in Jesus' name this morning. The reason for the season, the one we are here to celebrate. I appreciated the devotional this morning and the Sunday school lesson. It kind of fits right into what I'm going to be speaking on this morning. I have entitled the message, From the Manger to the Cross. So this morning, since being it's Christmas, I'm hoping to get finished in good time here this morning, and we can go to our family gatherings or whatever we have planned for today. So as we think of the birth of Jesus, the aspect of the birth of Jesus, we can't miss the fact that Jesus came here to die. And it's interesting to think we celebrate Christmas in December, the end of December, and then a few short months later, we're celebrating the Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And as I was focusing a little bit on that, to think of how much took place in the life of Jesus from his birth to his death, and the mission that Jesus had, what his mission was in those 33 years. Now, I'm 32, so I was thinking, you know, about my lifetime was the life of Jesus on this earth. And, you know, a lot can take place in that time. And in the message this morning, I want to focus on what most of the world does not focus on, and the reason why we celebrate Christmas the way we do in remembering the birth of Jesus our Savior. What do you think of when you think of Christmas? In one word, what comes to your mind? Obviously, Jesus should come to your mind, but besides Jesus, what is one word that comes to your mind? It's probably hard to put that into one word, but the word I want to think about is sacrifice. We talked a little bit in our Sunday school lesson about the sacrifice. And, you know, Christmas is an exciting time. It's something we look forward to every year. And what are some of the things that we like about Christmas? For myself, I enjoy food. I like the food. We go to family gatherings and there's good food to eat. And what else do I like? Gifts. I like to open gifts. I like to watch my children open gifts. What else do I do? Shopping. Maybe the ladies could relate to that a little bit more, but I do like shopping sometimes. Not right now, not when the mad rush is, but what else do I like? I like to see the lights. There's a lot of lights at Christmas time this time of the year. It's drive through Hershey or wherever it is, and everything's lit up. But now you're probably thinking, is this guy really going to preach a message here this morning? That, I have to say, that is not what I enjoy most about Christmas. But if we are honest with ourselves, as Zach talked this morning in devotional, these things do attract us. They do draw our attention at Christmas time. And so this morning I want to draw our attention on the real meaning of Christmas. And just to be reminded again, as we go to our family events, our activities, whatever we have planned this Christmas season, that we would not forget what our Savior had to go through in order to come in the way he did to be this little baby that we celebrate at Christmas time. Just think with me for a moment what Jesus left in order to come here in the mission that he did. Think what he had to leave. He left the splendor of heaven. He to come down here to this earth to be ridiculed, to be rejected, to have men scoff at him and say he is not the Savior. Even men told him that they don't want him. They would rather have a real king. We want a king who will exalt us and put us on the map, so to speak. We want a king that is going to fight for us and free us from our enemies. And finally, he came and was crucified for us. All for what? What did it benefit Jesus? It wasn't for his benefit. Number one, it was for obedience to his Father. And number two, I believe, so we can have a life of victory and we can spend eternity with him. So as we think about that, let's just appreciate this Christmas season, what our Savior had to go through, went through in order for us, just for us. So I hope we can be drawn to him and not let things get in the way, as we talked about earlier. You fill in the blank, whatever it is that's getting in the way, if it is, of remembering Jesus. And when the question is asked, What comes to your mind when you think of Christmas? Maybe one of the things that you'll think of is sacrifice. And I had to think too, Jesus, it wasn't only sacrifice for Jesus, it was his parents as well. His parents had to sacrifice in order to fulfill their role in the Christmas story. So I wanted to look this morning at two aspects of Jesus, being a servant and the sacrifice. Two S's, servant and sacrifice. First of all, coming as a servant. Why did he come that way? Why did he come the way he did, being born in a manger, as the Bible talks about? What king today would want to be known as coming in the way Jesus did? What king today would want that story as his background? So I want to look briefly at the story of Jesus in Luke chapter 2. You can turn with me to Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read the first 7 verses there. As I was studying for this, I'd planned to go here to Luke chapter 2, and I was thinking I better check the Sunday school lesson. Hopefully it's not the same, and sure enough, I was relieved to see it was Matthew chapter 2. So hopefully we can get a little different aspect here as we read Luke chapter 2. Let's all read it together. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, days were accomplished that she should be delivered forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Okay. This story is a story that we read about at Christmas time, and it's a story that never gets old, or at least I hope it doesn't to you. So hopefully we can make it come alive here this morning. To those of you who don't enjoy paying taxes, here it is. Joseph went to Bethlehem to pay his taxes, and you know, sometimes we think we have it rough and we have to pay taxes. It seems just a waste of money, you know. It's rough to have to pay taxes. But all we have to do is we write a check, slip it in the mail, put a stamp on it, and off we go. Or some of us may have taxes taken off automatically. But look what Joseph and Mary had to go through to pay their taxes. There was no exception. She was 9 months pregnant, really hardly fit to go away, and she had to sit on a donkey and ride the journey to Bethlehem, which was probably 80 or 90 miles away. And this journey was no paved roads. This was a rough journey, I can only imagine, through the rocky terrain and the hills and whatever they had to go through to get there. Now, I couldn't find anywhere in the Bible where it talks about that she rode on a donkey, but either way, somehow they got there. And it was a tiresome, grueling journey, I'm sure. But just to note here, Joseph's and Mary's, their obedience to the law of the land in paying his dues, in paying his taxes. And I had to think, would we have done that? Would we, if we were in that situation, would we have done what they did? I know how uncomfortable it is for my wife at 9 months pregnant to travel. It's not very easy. I'm sure we could have come up with some kind of excuse, you know, to travel that far, just having a baby on the way very soon, just to pay our taxes and then come all the way back. It seems crazy. But I see Joseph as a man of patience. And in Matthew chapter 1, it talks about Joseph being a just man. And I believe he wanted to do the right thing. Verse 6. It says, and so it was that they were there, the days were accomplished, that she should be delivered. In short, pretty much, it was time. The baby was was coming. And being a husband, I can kind of feel a little bit for Joseph here, and I'm sure it was, I can't imagine what Mary went through as well, but for Joseph to hear he was going this distance, and he was hoping, you know, hoping everything goes well as he's on this journey, and, you know, trying to keep everything in order, everything straight, and so he can get back in time so they can have this baby, and they don't have to worry about it, knowing full well that on this journey, it's a possibility that this baby could be born on this journey. And now the baby's coming, and they're far from home. They're a couple days distance from home, and there's no room. There's no room in the inn. So what is there to do? And Joseph, he was probably thinking, you know, this wasn't my idea in the first place. I didn't want to have to do this in the first place. And sure, I'm sure he's thinking he wants to have a nice place, you know, for this baby to be born, his son. Obviously, it was his earthly son. Was it by accident that there was no room in the inn for Jesus? Was it by accident? Was it coincidence that there was no room, that it happened this way? I don't think so. I mean, obviously, this was tax time. This was a time when Bethlehem would have been full of people, I'm sure. Said normally, the population of Bethlehem was only a few hundred people normally. And I'm sure that Bethlehem was just full of people. But this was the Savior of the world that was ready to be born. This was the one who put the earth in motion. This was the one who created each and every man and woman on this earth. Yet here in this dark little town where the world gave little attention, the Savior was about to be born. Did you ever imagine how different the Christmas story would have been if he wasn't born in a stable? Say he was born in the king's palace or some high up area in Jerusalem. But no, he was born in a stable. And some commentaries say that stables were actually often caves, and the mangers would have been feed troughs that were carved out in the rock, and that's where the animals would have eaten their food. And so mangers in this time, in this era, were oftentimes made out of stone, which gives us a little bit different picture than what we see on our Christmas cards of the manger scene, where it's a beautiful picture of Jesus in the manger, Joseph and Mary standing there around the baby, and the animals smiling in the background or whatever. But the Bible doesn't give us a real clear detail of how this was. We know he was put into the manger, but I can only imagine what this scene was like. This was a place that housed animals, and are most likely. And I'm sure it was the opposite of clean. You know, you think of a barn, spider webs, and the dust collecting on the spider webs because of the dust-filled, dirty environment. And, you know, I can only imagine what it smelled like in there with all these animals in there. And I'm sure these animals were animals that people would have used for travel, so who knows what they smelled like. There was no clean sheets to lay Jesus on. And we all know that Jesus could have chosen a more decent place to be born. We all know that, because being the creator of this world. But this was the environment that Jesus chose to be born into. And so, you know, why did he choose this place? Why did he choose this environment? I believe Jesus came to save the lowest of the low, the lowliest of sinners. And in his time on earth, there was many times where he rebuked the proud Pharisees, the arrogant Pharisees. He rebuked them. And instead, he chose to relate to the publicans and the sinners. And those who cried out for mercy, those who needed help, who acknowledged that they needed help. And I believe in coming in this way, there is not one single person on this earth that can say, Jesus is too high for me. Jesus is too, that I'm too poor and lowly and insignificant for Jesus. I believe he paved the way for a lost world to be able to acknowledge him as Lord and Savior, no matter who we are, no matter who the person is, their background, their race, ethnicity, no matter how empty a person may feel or how hopeless a life may be, Jesus can always relate to that man or woman who comes to him in acknowledging their sinful state and, you know, wanting to make him Lord of their life. So we looked at the way he came as a servant. The next one is the sacrifice. David Jeremiah said, if you don't have the cross, you might as well not have the manger. So without the mission of the cross, the manger really is meaningless without the mission. And that is the point of the manger. That is why he came, for the cross. And I want to focus a little bit on his sacrifice this morning, and maybe a little bit why the world views Christmas the way they do. You know, I had to think, wonder what God thinks when he looks down and he sees the world today, how much of the world has commercialized Christmas. And they have found many ways to distort Christmas and what the true meaning of Christmas is, and how they have added things to try to make Christmas exciting, to the point of missing why they celebrate Christmas in the first place. And I just want to look real briefly here at maybe some of the distractions that the world uses and the reason for it. First one is Santa Claus. Santa Claus is a jolly, happy man who loves to take pictures with your children. And it kind of bugs me a little bit. All you see and hear about at Christmas time is Santa Claus. And I was thinking, well, I should check into why. Where did it originate? How did this come about? And St. Nicholas is actually a bishop who lived in modern-day Turkey around AD 300. And so he would have lived not long after Jesus lived in this earth. And he was said to be a good person. He was said to have sold his possessions, and then he devoted his life to going around helping the poor. That's what his life was. He sold all he had, and he devoted his life to helping people. And somebody once said that because Saint Nick gave us such a good example of helping the poor, Santa Claus may well be a healthy part of our celebrations. And so I thought about what about Jesus? Didn't he do much more? Didn't he give his possessions? Didn't he do more than give his possessions? He gave his life. And yet very little was mentioned of Jesus. And yeah, the reason I mention that is because it's kind of alarming as to how quickly a culture can replace Jesus with something else, and something else that seems good and accepted as normal. You know, after all, what's wrong with jolly old Santa? He's a friendly guy. He makes you happy, your children happy or whatever, and he has a friendly personality usually. And the original Santa was a good person. You know, I think I can sum it up in one word: distraction. I think that's what Satan wants this time of the year. I think he wants every distraction that he can get this time of the year to get people to take Jesus out of Christmas, to draw people's attention away from Jesus. And even in the word Christmas, they want to replace it with Xmas, because it's, after all, it's kind of long to say Christmas, so it's just quicker to say Xmas. And a push to say, you know, happy holidays. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. It's a happy time of the year, but it is a push to draw the attention away from Christ, and it seems to be so prevalent in our society. And as I thought about his sacrifice for us, shouldn't we put every effort we can to put him back into Christmas? The other one is maybe the Christmas tree. Lighting of the Christmas tree at the White House takes place every year, and that has been for 100 years now almost, you know, and not much that is mentioned of Jesus. You know, there's so many things that want to draw attention away. And it seems the natural green Christmas tree is not good enough anymore. There's a push to color the trees. We do work for a place up in Orwicksburg that they sell a lot of Christmas trees. And now it seems like they're painting a lot of trees, and they're selling a lot of trees like that. You can paint them, spray paint them whatever color you want. You know, blue, purple, I've seen a lot of white ones. and, you know, add some color. It's, you know, it's not good enough anymore to have the regular one. Add some color to your living room. And, you know, if I can use that as an example of what happens when we lose our focus on the true meaning, we will allow other things to draw our attention, and, you know, they just won't satisfy. We'll need more, something brighter and something bolder. But this season, only Jesus will bring true satisfaction and fulfillment in Christmas. Now, I'm not saying here I'm against decorating for Christmas. We have to note what is the main focus of our celebrations this year. And I like to think of it as a birthday party. That's what it is. We're celebrating a birthday party for Jesus. And, you know, how bad would it be if we had a birthday party for someone and we never mentioned that person's name or even acknowledged that that person was there at the party? You know, we're here for the food and the fellowship and, you know, enjoy being around all these people. We're having a good time, the celebrations, and but we forgot to even acknowledge that the person that we're having the party for is there. And I think it can be the same way for Jesus. So yesterday, as I was studying for this message, my daughter handed me an envelope, and she said, "This is for you, Daddy." So this envelope was sealed, and I thought, well, maybe she, you know, made something, and she's going to give it to me, and you just never know what you're going to get from those envelopes. And so I took it open, sealed, so I took it open, and there's nothing in the envelope. What a disappointment. And well, what in the world you do that for? Well, then soon that followed by a burst of laughter as it was meant to be a joke. And so I thought, if anything, I got to come up with some kind of an illustration for that. I can't just let that one go to waste. But I kind of believe that's how Christ feels when even some Christians today celebrate his birthday, but they forget him. And, you know, it's kind of like opening up a gift, a wrapped gift, and all you get is a box of rocks. Or you're opening an envelope and there's nothing in it. And, you know, it kind of makes you feel disappointed. And, you know, if I can use that to illustrate that in that way, that's how Jesus feels when he is left out. So in closing here, I came across a list of a bunch of countries, 82 different countries, and how they celebrate Christmas. And I wasn't surprised to see that most of them have very little mention of the birth of Jesus. Just one, for example, China being 1% Christian, about is what the number was there. Very difficult to express their views of being a Christian. And in recent weeks, China has taken a hard stance against Christians. It seems like it's getting worse and worse. So, you know, my thought was just, you know, we need to remember those people in other countries like China or other countries like North Korea who you can't freely celebrate Christmas like we can. So to remember those people too. And Israel is the one that stuck out to me. Only 2.5% of the people in Israel are Christians. Now, if that number's correct, I don't know, but that's what I came up with, 2.5%. Kind of alarmed me to see that Christmas isn't even a public holiday in most of the state of Israel. You know, the Christians that are there would obviously celebrate Christmas, but as the nation as a whole does not celebrate Christmas. And that, you know, why is that? The very birthplace of Jesus, the very ground that Jesus was born on, the nation as, you know, they've seen the miracles firsthand, and yet the majority of them do not celebrate Christmas. You know, why is that? I guess I don't have an answer for that, except that, you know, the invitation still stands today for whether it's Gentile or Jew. The invitation to accept Jesus still stands to whoever will. And hopefully we can remember this Christmas, the best gift is Christ this Christmas as we open gifts or whatever this Christmas. I asked the girls last night what they like most about Christmas, and their answers were mostly centered around gifts and giving gifts. They like to give gifts, and so I'm okay with that. Children like gifts around Christmas time, but for all the children here, as you open gifts this Christmas season, just remember that Jesus is the best gift that you could ever receive. Just remember that. So the attention that we give Jesus at Christmas time is an indicator of how high we place him in our lives. It's an indicator of how high we place Jesus in our lives. And, you know, like to ask the question, do you have room in Jesus, in your heart for Jesus? Do you have room for him in your life? The inn was full. The inn was full. There was no room in the inn. But what about your heart? What about your heart? Is there room in your heart for Jesus and to not let so many other distractions get in the way? And I was thinking this Christmas season here, there are some from church here that have lost loved ones this past year and since last Christmas. And I don't know what your Christmas may be. It may seem like this year, maybe it seems a little empty or whatever it may be, but my prayer would be that God would be with you and that God would comfort you as only he can. So let's remember to keep Christ as the true meaning of Christmas this year. So at this time, I believe we'll all stand for a prayer, and then if you just want to have a closing verse of song at the end, then we'll consider ourselves dismissed. I don't plan to stand at the back there. My youngest girl, or Chloe, is sick, so I plan on omitting the greeting at the back and headed home. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this Lord's Day, this Christmas season that we have here, that we can commemorate what you have done. I thank you for your sacrifice, that you came and coming the way that you did. And I thank you that each person can come to you in faith and acknowledge you as as their Savior, and they will be accepted. And I thank you for that, Lord. Pray that we will be able to keep you as the center of our celebrations. And Lord, I pray for those who have loved ones that are not here for this year. I just pray that you would comfort them, you would just be with them, and that you would lead, God, and direct them. Lord, I just pray you'd be with us as we go from here. Just lead, God, and direct us, and help us to continue to serve you faithfully till the end. In Jesus' name, amen.